This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station. The BFM Breakfast Grill. Top interviews you can't afford to miss. Presented by the CIMB Group.
Making a return to the Breakfast Grill is Zainul Aman Shah, the Chief Executive of InvestKL, the capital city's investment agency. Zainul, a very warm welcome back. Now, we understand that your 2014 targets have been hiked up to 13 investees a year from 10 last year because, I presume, of the stellar performance of the investment agency. Can you give a bit of a breakdown and a bit of an update in terms of the people that you've, or the companies that you signed up, and the reasons under which, behind which they chose to come to KL as their destination?
Good morning, Chuang. The last time that I came, we had 20 companies under our wings. Now we have 40. I'll start with the numbers first. In total, the 40 has brought in more than 2 billion in terms of investment, approved and committed investment, 40% of which have been realized. The creation of jobs also, regional type jobs. I stress on regional. If the company is just hiring for local projects, we don't take that into consideration. Regional jobs, more than 5,000 regional jobs, about 60% already hired. So those are some fundamentals. We're also seeing some new attributes to these projects. Very good business spend, very good funds flow, partnerships with the local entities. So those are some key numbers, economic indicators. Why have they chosen Kuala Lumpur? I believe the awareness in general of Kuala Lumpur as a regional headquarters has improved. When we first started, a lot of impressions, and it's very much Malaysia, not much on awareness on the capital city itself, on Kuala Lumpur, what's going on. Nowadays, people look at cities. They look at the fundamentals, which are very important. Stability, ecosystem, talent, what are the economic indicators of the country? Is it stable? And so on. In general, so far so good. We're reasonably happy with 40, still another 60 to go, 100 by 2020. But so far, going in the right direction.
Zainul, some might say that some of the investees that you have nominated and you have brought to KL have fallen outside of the Fortune 500 or Forbes 2000 definitions that you yourself placed as benchmarks. How would you respond?
In general, the list of companies that we work with do fall in that category. That's first and foremost. However, if you look at the second tier companies, the emerging companies that have the potential to go into that category, these are very exciting and very innovative companies that are looking for that ideal regional headquarters hub. We decided to talk to these companies because we feel that in years to come, not in the too distant future, they will expand, they will fall into this category. So we talked to them. And sometimes they could be also a market leader in their respective areas. For example, if we talk to a medical devices company, they may not be in that Fortune 500 category today, but they are so innovative, they are market leader in their space, and we will entertain them, we will talk to them. The other one is the commodity traders, the global commodity traders. We have managed to attract some in the top category. These are the ABCDs of the commodity traders. We do have one or two in our reference, but there are some others also outside of that category. I think in the Fortune 500 list, you will not see many of these commodity traders, but they do very, very good business, high volumes, good job creation, and so on. Therefore, we've made a strategic decision to also look at these companies.
Might this moving of the goalposts be tantamount to perhaps giving yourself an easier target to meet, Zainul? I mean, some might say that is so.
Not really. The target is not easy. As you can imagine, when these MNCs, whether it is in the Fortune 500 category or even in that large Tier 2 category, the evaluation criteria is extremely stringent. They go through all the long checklist of the factors that I mentioned. So it's no easy task. Of course, in return, what we look for is substance. I know in your show yesterday you talked about inversion. Yeah, we do look at substance. What exactly does this company wish to do? What's the win for them, and what's the win for Kuala Lumpur and Malaysia?
In terms of the inversion issue, you must of course be referring to the corporate tax, different beneficial systems in other parts of the world. I mean, what is your feedback to us, Zainal, about Malaysia's corporate tax system? And in fact, how much of a consideration is the tax structure in Malaysia when you talk to potential investees?
Very important. They know their numbers. They are aware of our tax structure, corporate tax structure, personal tax structure.
In which case, then they know the difference between ourselves and Singapore and Hong Kong.
Yes, they are very well aware. In fact, even before we go and talk to them, they have already done their numbers. They engage with the so-called Big Four accounting and tax advisory companies. They know their numbers. However, when it's not just purely tax that they look at, yeah, they look at the cost of doing business. And this is where Kuala Lumpur and Malaysia is one of the best in the region in terms of our cost. We were 115th in terms of the Mercer list, number one being the most expensive. They do their numbers in terms of people costs, real estate costs, general costs of doing business. Also, for selected activities where we feel that there is good substance, there is good economic benefit to our country, good job creation, good funds flow, good quality investments, there are, of course, incentives. Our government is, I would say, very generous in terms of incentives for the right kind of investments. We are able to customize. This is where understanding the business requirement of the MNCs as they select the regional hub is very, very important. And when we find that this is the right kind of investment, high skill, high quality, we can customize the necessary incentives for them.
Zainal, in referencing your idea about costs and the cost of doing business, perhaps in outright value terms, Malaysia remains cheaper than, say, a Hong Kong or a Singapore or even a Shanghai. But in terms of the rate of growth of inflationary pressures, how does Malaysia stack up against our neighbouring peers?
Still very, very competitive. It's not just cheaper or which is the cheapest location. The companies look at the best in terms of their return on invested capital. They look at stability. When I invest, can I get my, you know, an IRR of so much? Can I actually pull up my funds to go and invest in other larger projects? They look at predictability in this factor. So it's all it's all in a package that they look at. So it's not just purely at the cheapest cost. They do take all those factors into consideration.
Zainal, in a few days' time, Malaysia will become, 57 years old, okay? And for that span of time, we have had one government, which has, of course, added a sheen of stability to the country. But in the last two general elections, that stability has been somewhat eroded. Is this a major pushback among investees that you speak to?
The MNCs are actually very heartened to see this stability. We were talking just now. They know the politics perhaps better than we do sometimes. And with Merdeka coming up, they also feel part of the family as such. They know what's going on. The stability is extremely important, obviously, because when a company decides to choose a location, it's for the long term. It's not a short-term play. Therefore, understanding the policies of the government, the richness of our multicultural aspects, they are very well aware of what's going on the ground. Yeah, what are some of the issues, the grouses, the everyday news? They're very, very aware. By and large, they are very encouraged, very stable, very happy with their investments. They also get to participate in policy shaping sometimes, which is very important. If you look at our recent budget 2015 exercise, I've also been involved together with many of the multinational companies in dialogue sessions, in giving inputs. This is a very good process, a very transparent process, and they are very comfortable with it.
We are talking today to Zainal Aman Shah, the Chief Executive of InvestKL, the Capital Cities Investment Agency. After the Zainal, more in terms of the pushbacks and potential challenges, as well as other reputational damage that Malaysia might have received. Zainal Aman Shah, the Chief Executive of InvestKL, the Capital Cities Investment Agency, with us this morning on The Grill. Zainal, the migratory patterns of long-term capital investees in any nation often and sometimes take flight when there's policy flip-flops, there's a lack of transparency, a change in administration, or things just get a little bit hot under the collar. What's your sense of already invested corporations in Malaysia in terms of, you know, relooking at Malaysia with a different prism in terms of the challenges, policies or politics-wise in Malaysia these last few years?
It's been stable. In general, when you look at our policies, what the MNCs are very adverse to is overnight changes, unpredictability. You mentioned the word flip-flops. We don't do that. It is very predictable.
Well, some might say in terms of policy, like, for example, the auto sector taxes and the withdrawal of the AP system, which the government has said they might do and will do, but as yet have not. Tobacco taxes, for example, in the past, they flip-flopped on those as well. So those, admittedly, are minor-ish flip-flops as opposed to an India 3G license flip-flop. But, I mean, what's your sense of investee perception and their prism on Malaysia?
What has been very heartening to them, as I mentioned earlier, is the transparency and the dialogue session. If you look at the automotive policy that you talked about, even in other things like TPP, the FTAs, and even things like RCEP, Regional Comprehensive Economic Program, all these things, these are questions which the multinationals will have. What's going to happen? How is that going to impact my business? When you have regular dialogue sessions and discussions with them, that's what they want, because they feel that they can be heard, they can give their input. And this is something I believe Malaysia has done and will continue to do. So much so that it's been unprecedented. You know, never before has there been so much dialogue on the TPP, for example. But you see the dialogue not just with the locals, but with the investment community. This, I believe, provides a lot of comfort to them. And this is good for us in the long term, because you talked about reputational risk. And if I take another example, like our economic transformation program and the various labs that were conducted before, and you get inputs from the public, from the investment community in general, it has been very transparent.
This mutuality of discussion and discourse is, of course, quite beneficial, Zainal. But in terms of the conversion rate, or the period of conversion from first meeting to dotted line period, has that period gotten longer or shorter?
I would say, in general, slightly longer. Not because of any fault of Kuala Lumpur or Malaysia. It is the economic climate in general. You find that companies need to make that shift to Asia or to ASEAN, but they are very, very careful. They look at return on investment. A board may have made a decision, but then they pull back. They say, wait a minute, we're going to relook at it again. Sometimes it is also very sensitive, because if they decide to set up a regional headquarters in Kuala Lumpur or a global outsourcing hub, for example, or a center of excellence here, what does that mean? Is this a new initiative? Is it an initiative that is going to right-size another location? It gets very sensitive. They have to take all of these considerations as they make that decision. So yes, it can take a bit longer, and in current economic scenarios also.
You know, Zainal, when InvestKL was conceived a few years ago, the government did not want KL to be compared to, say, a Bangkok or a Jakarta. They wanted, you know, KL to be compared to, say, a Hong Kong or Singapore. Do you think that gap has been closed in the years since?
I believe so. We are getting there. People talk about New York, London, Geneva, Kuala Lumpur. That's what we want. We are getting there. One of the challenges that we've had as we go to market is perception. Yeah, there is a myriad of perceptions out there about Malaysia. There are a lot of impressions. Sometimes people tell us, we know Malaysia truly Asia, but from a business standpoint, we don't know what you stand for. Now, that presents an opportunity for us, because when we articulate our proposition of Kuala Lumpur as a regional headquarters for business, innovation and talent, I can tell you they are pleasantly surprised, and even more so when they come on the ground and they see what's going on in terms of the ecosystem, in terms of how livable we are. Some of the things they look at, even as detailed as the number of schools, international schools that we have, when they come on the ground and they look at all these facts, they are pleasantly surprised. And more often that leads to an investment decision which is positive for us.
I'm talking this morning to Zainal Amansha, the Chief Executive of InvestKL, the Capital Cities Investment Agency. Taking on from that catchphrase you mentioned, Zainal, Malaysia truly Asia, Most and many expats we speak to who have been in Malaysia for more than, say, 3 or 6 months, they would be, among many of their feedbacks to us Malaysians, is the fact that the Malaysia Truly Asia moniker does not really hold true in terms of the differing treatment of the differing races in the country. Now, of course, this could be perception, this could be real or perceived. Do these issues, you know, surface in your discussions with investees when you talk to them who have already invested in the country?
Not really. The fact that we have got a multiracial, multicultural community, that is a strength for us. Of course, there will be challenges, and the investment community understands that, the expats understand that. And they are also very, very sensitive. I do talk to CEOs and they say, okay, I've hired people of a certain race, I need to balance it. They are very, very well aware of that. They know how to take advantage of that. So it's not an issue, it's not a showstopper.
You know, the issue of livability as well, as I know, you know, KL is actually a great place to stay, and many expats have said that. But in the definition of livability, does the cost of living and housing affordability enter the definition or no? Because those two factors alone are pretty much the main reason why, there's been a lot of pushback.
The expats in general, they really have a good time here. There are many who have taken advantage of the so-called products that our government has introduced. For example, the residence pass. Yesterday, our Prime Minister launched the multiple entry visa. They really take advantage of this. That's what matters to them. When they look at the cost of living, by and large...
Expat packages have been shrunk somewhat in the years since the GFC.
Of course, but still... When you look at the cost of living, cost of doing business, by and large, they have a wonderful time here. And some even take advantage of our MM2H program. They end up retiring here. So all of these are products that they can take advantage of, and they do that. So they are very well informed, and they do their numbers very carefully.
Zainal, you've also cited reputational damage or otherwise in our earlier discussion. And none have come bigger or more damaging than MES and the twin tragedies, of course, both of which were out of our control, largely. But in your discussions with the investees, as well as your directors in the discussions with investees, has this posed a major concern to them in terms of the national carrier and the travails it's been going through?
No, it hasn't. On that note, first of all, I just want to take the opportunity to send our condolences to the families that were affected. To answer your question, no. The investment community, they understand the scenario of the tragedy. I think the handling of the most recent MH17 case, they were very impressed by the way our Prime Minister handled that.
And I think largely improved as well from the first incident.
That's right. A lot of activities were unprecedented. So the multinationals and the expats are very impressed, and I hear very good feedback. It has not, in fact, affected their decision. In fact, they look at other aspects when it comes to connectivity. We were talking about KLIA2. They are very impressed by that. They know KLIA1 today, and with the introduction of KLIA2, that has even improved our connectivity to the region and enhanced our proposition of KL as a regional headquarters. They look at that. More than the tragedy itself. So that has, in fact, improved in terms of the knowledge that they have of our connectivity.
Well, Zainal, going beyond the KLIA2, there's also the MRT and, of course, the high-speed rail project, which is being mooted now, and as well as, you know, even broadly, the KIDEX, the Kinrara-Damatra Exchange. But do you get the sense that investors might be waiting for these projects to conclude and be completed first before they put any dollar into this country, for fear or perhaps for unconcern that the short-term fracas or the social issues or unrest from these infrastructure projects might disrupt business?
These infrastructure projects actually presents an opportunity for them. If you look at engineering companies, there are many that have come into Kuala Lumpur, participated in the projects, MRT, LRT, potential HSR project, the various hubs that are coming up, for example, in the TRX hub, the new PNB building. These are infrastructure projects that represents business for them, first and foremost.
But what about those that are not involved in engineering and construction?
In one way or another, they either participate either as a main con or a sub con. They do participate. Those that don't participate, well, they are heartened to see that infrastructure is improving. We say that the population in Kuala Lumpur is going to grow from 6 to 10 million. If we don't have all this infrastructure in place, then yes, I would agree with you that they may think twice in terms of investment. The fact that they see that these activities are on the ground and our government is actually thinking, upgrading the infrastructure, trying to improve livability, improve connectivity via HSR between ourselves and Singapore, they are very heartened by it. Of course, short term, a little bit of pain in terms of the traffic jams, but long term gain.
And I, you know, lastly, and perhaps most importantly, Zainal, the ongoing water shortages and the crisis, and even among the chief minister's post, how much of a challenge, and how much dialogue are you having with the powers that be in order to resolve these issues?
Yes, a lot of dialogue. The water issue was challenging, I have to admit.
Very critical to coming industries and even existing industries.
Sure, some of them cannot survive without water, for sure. We do have regular dialogue sessions with MIDA, with MITI, with our minister, with SPAN, and that helps a lot. Yeah, in terms of getting clarity and their planning and so on. In terms of the state, well, that's a state crisis, which fortunately so far has not translated to a business crisis. So regular dialogue is the answer to that.
Zainal, as always, thank you for spending time with us and good luck with the plan on getting to 100 universities in KL from 40 currently. Thank you for spending time with us.
Thank you, Sean.
That was Zainal Aman Shah, the Chief Executive of Invest KL, the capital city's investment agency, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.